My name is Pooja Parra, and I'm here once again with my friend Josh. Listener, welcome to Woodside Lane. I guess I would just want to give like a really short summary of how you got into spirituality.
So my mom and dad were both addicts, and then they went to AA, and as they've said in AA, spirituality filled the hole that they were trying to fill with drugs. So they take spirituality really seriously. They both have been sober for 30 years because of spirituality and like self-practice every day. Shout out my parents. And they had always taken me to church on Sundays, but it wasn't like church. The church I went to in California was like hippies and like just people that wanted to meditate every day and like pray. I wasn't that involved, and I was just too young to like really understand what was going on and like how actually lucky I was to like not have an oppressive religion shoved down my throat, unlike like what we were going. It was called like Science of Mind. Sounds like Scientology when I say it. People always say that. It's not Scientology at all. It's like an open way to look at spirituality as a whole. That wasn't even under, that's, church is technically not under the Christian sect. But when we went to Richmond, we couldn't find that church. So we went to this, I love this church so much. So I live in the suburbs, but the only place that we would leave like consistently to go like to Richmond at the beginning of my life in Virginia was to go to church in the city. It's by this beautiful park. It was really old. It smelled like dirt and it smelled like a fucking retirement home. And I still loved this place. It recently got renovated. It looks beautiful now. Like, but it's called Unity of Richmond, and there's unity everywhere throughout the world. There's a lot of unity churches in the United States. There's a lot outside. Right. It's technically a Christian sect, and it's under Christianity, but we don't, like, read the Bible physically or, like, for, like, reading it as actual events. We read it metaphorically. It's called, like, a metaphysical Bible. We also have metaphysical Bibles, which aren't actual Bibles. They're, like, even, like, further ways to read it and, like, more practical ways.
Basically, you just have, like, I guess different versions of the Bible. Is that
yeah,
what it is?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And we, okay, so, like, a service, obviously, all the kids would go downstairs because there's, like, little, there's, like, Unitots, Unitines, and then YOU. And I didn't love Unitines too much. I went to a couple camps in, and all the, okay, so, like, all the youth group camps where they try to really, like, grow the community and like find like connections, and like all the regions of unity around the United States would meet up together as Unitines. But it wasn't that big, and it was mainly run by adults, so it wasn't like super, like, I don't know, it wasn't, just didn't have that spark. But I went in a YOU, and oh, also like, okay, so like basic classes, like every single like chapter of a year we'll pick out a book to read. We would read like books like The Four Agreements or like No Mud, No Lotus, stuff like that. This, like, new wave spirituality or, like, an old take on a metaphysical book. And it was awesome. I loved it. We would meditate at the beginning. We would just talk about our days. It wasn't super serious. But when we got to YOU, it was just a lot more freedom that they would give to us, because the camps are run, planned, and organized by four people that are called Regis, and you elect them every year.
And so they're run by the kids, essentially.
They're only run by the kids. The adults show up and will be in what we call family groups, which are the smaller groups, and they'll be there at, like, the events. But, like, they're not doing anything. Like, it is only the kids up on the podium, like, leading everything and telling everyone what to do and, like, what we're doing, which I just loved. It was awesome. And I also really loved that the adults really felt on an even playing field, because I cultivated nearly as many close relationships with the adults there as I did the kids, because I always got along with the adults and everything. But I just met some of the coolest people there. And this is kind of part of my sexual journey, is this was the first time in my life, and this was the only time in my life, that I saw queer being represented every single way that I didn't know was like actually like could be in front of me, but it was common. I was,
right,
I would say nearly a minority being a cis person because
interesting.
There were so many trans people and everyone was so accepting. And this was really a time like, so this was just when like, this felt like really soon when gay marriage was just legalized, but like everyone there just like expressed themselves how they wanted to. And there were so many queer people. It was awesome.
So your religion really encouraged individuality.
So much so. It's like the religion should be for yourself rather than something else. And they really do stress. And that's not my, that's just like what they say. I think religion, every single one of them is right in their own respects and they fit with the right people that should be there. You just have to find and like peruse all of the religions that are offered and then you find the one that you like. And even like, and okay, so I ended up becoming a Rigi. I got elected my junior year. That was one of the favorite moments of my entire life. I loved organizing all of that. I loved just facilitating growth in people. It was just such a rewarding experience and it really was the first time I felt like an adult. It was such a cool experience. Literally, so like I know like what it went into planning all that. That was so much. Like I would, it was basically me. It was supposed to be me and three other people, but like
right.
Two other people had a lot of family stuff going on that they couldn't really be fully present. So it was basically me and just Merritt, who was also from my chapter. So that was really cool to work with her. We got super close.
Right.
But me and her freaking twice for a spring and fall rally organized 150 people coming to this YMCA camp, which was like, oh, I love Camp Taqua so much. It's so beautiful. It's like in the middle of nowhere in Maryland. It's on a ocean. Like there's a lot of secret parts that I was never allowed to be at, but I ended up being there anyways because it's like there's a lot of like, it's a really open land and like you could sneak around. So beautiful. I love that place. I would run there every morning as I was still a very consistent runner. Then it was so much fun. That was my beginning reputation as the runner. And that's why people saw me as dedicated.
I actually did grow up in a religion as well, a sect of Hinduism. And I've been in that religion since I was a kid, and I still am in that religion right now. And I was a camp counselor, very similar to like that camp's experience, like, you know, open land, you know, like just like we went to the lake every day and like, you know, it was all about, you know, hanging out with the kids and like doing like service for each other and just cultivating those strong relationships, similar to what you're talking about with like the gatherings.
Yeah.
My my temple also had a bunch of places everywhere, and they would have these massive gatherings for like a weekend, maybe like four days, depending on how long, and each temple would kind of like have their time to host. So my first one was in New Jersey. It's right near my home, so my mom was like super comfortable letting me go because it was like everyone stays there and they're together and it's this whole thing. I mean, I think it's kind of funny because a lot of relationships start out of it. I think that's like a kind of a little secret so motivation.
Many camp crushes.
I know.
I never got into that because I just thought it was, for one, I wasn't calm to myself again. But like also, it was
I know.
People would, I don't, there's a rumor that the Southeastern region would have an orgy. And a bunch of people would talk about it. Like, I thought it was real at the time. I still know to this day because I just cannot conceive. But like, the Southeastern region was wild, and I kind of believe it, but they said they would have an orgy for the seniors every single year, which is kind of just
that's
gross.
That's so funny.
It's funny, but, like, I'm like...
What?
Like, why?
Yeah. Like,
can we just...
hang out?
Chill? Talk to each other?
No, literally. So the thing is, like, since mine was very conservative, it was, like that type of stuff, if it happened, mm-hmm. was very much, like, it had to be, like, you know, respectful, and, like, there was no, like... physical contact allowed, in a sense. Like, they also had the rule of three there. It was very much, like...
No physical contact?
Yeah.
That was the one thing that was, like, stressed was, like... Literally, everyone was touching. We'd have cuddle puddles every day where you would just, like, create this, like, big sprawl
that's
of people
so
cuddling.
Funny.
And at the time, I had a fear of being touched, so it was, like, my nightmare. But one of my spiritual awakenings was me enjoying being touched. Because literally, you see anyone, you meet anyone for the first time there, it is a big bear hug squeeze. There's even a proper way to hug. If you really want to give someone a hug, it's hug, hold tightly, and you guys breathe together slowly
so
three
funny.
Times. Just like, that's so funny that there's no physical touch. Cause there was
yeah,
like,
I mean, yeah. Even like, okay, it's so like if there was adults around, if like a bunch of my guy friends, we would like, that's how we learned how to dap up.
Yeah.
Because we would do that instead. And that's what being so good at it, right? But then also when people were obviously like, you know, do the friendly hug, that's whatever. Yeah. But yeah, it's similar but not similar to your experience, because in the sense of like, there were still like boundaries, there were still rules. But they're definitely cultivating these like relationships, especially when you guys are all going down this spiritual journey.
Freshman year, sophomore year, I felt very lost, and it just felt a lot of like me doing the same stuff and me putting in the energy into people that like maybe weren't giving it back. And it was mainly just like at the end of the day, it was me just not feeling confident in like what I was doing, what I was supposed to be doing. And one night I just had trouble sleeping. Whenever I have trouble sleeping at the time, I would just meditate because it would calm me down. My dad taught me whenever you would meditate, you're supposed to sit up because the point of meditation is not to fall asleep, but I would cheat sometimes. And it was I was still meditating, and I still was like the entire time, and literally even before I went to bed, like I felt like slightly different. I felt like heightened, and I felt just like wildly awake. Like my mind was just spinning. And I doze off, and in my eyes, I don't know if you guys also get this. I hope other people get this. I'm gonna sound crazy, but like when you squeeze your eyes, like there'll be like those circles and rectangles, and they're all like,
oh yeah, and they're like have a lot of colors and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
Exactly. Yeah, and I was doing that because I was just like so annoyed that I wasn't falling asleep. I was just squeezing my eyes, and like at the end of that vision, I saw like an opening. Or like, it was a door, but it didn't look like a door. And I felt like someone calling me to approach it or not approach it. And I made this decision to approach it. So I literally feel like the door that was so far away, like come up to me as if I had walked towards it. And this sound in like the back of my head that feels like if you had a halo on your head, that's like basically where the sound felt like it was coming from. It was like the most beautiful, high-pitched, like harmonious sound. It felt like everyone at every pitch was saying om at the same time, and like every really high, and it sounded high pitch because like the high pitches kind of drowned out the lower pitches, but I could hear all the lower pitches if I focused on it. And I like latched on to this sound, and it just like dragged me through whatever was in front of me. And I just got shot out of my body, and I saw all these colors in front of me, and it felt like I was just in like another dimension. It was like just like these rainbow pattern of colors. I can still see it now today. It was like, there was like a red here and a yellow here and a blue here, and it was all like mashed together, but like perfectly. And they were like spinning, and the sound was just so loud. It was like so overwhelmingly beautiful, and just my body was shaking. Just like it was like this just crazy sensation. And this is just me like trying to like recollect it as best as I can, because like I still like don't fully remember it, I feel like, but like that's what I remember the most, was like these colors in front of me that were in like a very certain pattern I can still see now. And I get shot back into my body. I'm like sobbing as I come back into my body. I don't even remember starting to cry. And when stuff like that happens, you can just say like, that was weird. Like, what am I supposed to do with that? And I didn't tell my parents for a long time, and until I did, and they both have experienced stuff close to that when they had meditated, so they weren't like weirded out or like even concerned. They were like, that's okay, it happens when you're meditating. And slowly through like talking about this with other people, I like slowly come to realize that like I had like some type of out of body experience. I later found out it was astral projection, but that was freshman year. Sophomore year, I'm at the YOU camp. I'm participating. I'm not a Ouija. And we're coming on the closing ceremonies as we're leaving, and I'm like just feeling like the same way that I felt. And then we're singing, everyone's holding hands, singing so beautifully, and I look right in front of me, and it's really hard to describe it. Like, there's a, it's a huge room. There's a table in the middle.
Right.
And there's a bunch of little electric candles that are different colors, and they fill up the entire table. And right in front of me, I saw the exact pattern of colors that I saw when I got shot out of my body. And later, I talked to someone about this experience who was my mentor at the time when I was a Ouija, and she said, like, that's called astral projection. Like, it happens. People can astrally project anywhere. It's just when your soul leaves your body and you travel wherever your body takes you in the universe. Yeah. Fun fact. Okay, so, like, prefaced and context about, like, my mind on this, like, I still don't fully understand what happened that day or what happened with, like, the connections. And I can still hear the sound whenever I want now, because the ending of that story is me going to Unity Village, which is the week-long camp for the church. And I went into this place called Silent Unity, where everyone prays and has been praying over these prayers that people send into Unity Village every day.
Right.
They get like thousands and thousands of prayers a day, and they write them on a piece of paper, and then they put them in a box, and then they put them in this room.
You were telling me about this room. Is like crazy. Like, it feels...
It literally shook every single person that walked in that room. People left crying, people left with headaches, people left like shaken up, people had to go home after they went in that room. And it's because that people have been praying in this room continuously for like, it's like 140 years now. Mm-hmm. Like, there was tornadoes in this, it's in Kansas, there's tornadoes that have been here. There's been so many other things going on, and people were still praying in this building. And just all the energy in there is magical. It literally feels like there's like another layer of air in there. I go in there, I meditate, I immediately go back into the space that I was in, and I hear the noise, and the noise stayed with me, but all the visions left. But I still don't fully know, for anyone that has these type of experiences or will, it's just what you choose to think of it.
That's true.
And it's what you choose to take from that. It could mean nothing, it could mean everything. It's also
like, these experiences are extremely personal. Like,
exactly, like no one is gonna understand.
And no one, and like, people can sit here and be like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. It may be crazy to you, but like for you, like it, you know, specifically you, Josh, like it clearly inspired something, you know, it made your life different. Was always very much like ambitious, and I always had big dreams, and I always just like was a little bright-eyed, and I think I still think, like, comparison, I am still very bright-eyed.
I agree.
But so basically I went to a retreat. So my aunt is like a follower of my religion. I adore her. She's like my second mom. And you have to choose a teacher in the religion that I'm in. Like, when you fully dedicate yourself, it's called initiation. It's when you promise to abide by all the rules. And that's a really, really big thing. And I don't take it lightly. Some people do. I don't. I don't just get initiated to get initiated. That is ridiculous. I don't want to, you know, break any vows or anything like that. It's very serious. So my aunt has done two initiations with this teacher. And after her first initiation, it was in this beautiful farm. Like, this beautiful farm, like, cows that they would, like, take away from, like, cruelty farms and, like, just cultivate and just really just treat them nicely, right? And it was just such a community filled with, like, just positive relationships, right? So my aunt's teacher was speaking, you know, and he is massive. Like, he has a massive following right now. He is, you know, friends with, you know, Jay Shetty. And he's also friends, like, he knows, like, Will Smith. And he's also has a book that's, like really, really famous right now. It's crazy. And I wanted to go up and ask for a signature. And my aunt was like, just go up and ask. It's not a big deal. Just go up, right? So you go and you pay your obeisances. And he does not touch people, because that's just something you don't do, right? But when I paid my respects, he like touched my head and was like, I know you're going to do something great. And then he was signing my book, and I corrected the way he spelled my name. I was like, two O's. And then he looked at me, and he was like, and he kind of shook his head and laughed. But he looked at me straight in the eyes and was like, I know you're going to do something great. And in that, I don't know what happened to me. 5 seconds, there was no one else in that room. There was a line of kids waiting behind me. No one else. And it just, and that sentence of, you're going to do something great, really rang in my head. And that, everyone talked about that moment. Like, I had my aunts, like, friends come to me, like, did he really do that? Did he really do that to you? Like, was that something that happened? My aunt was like, he doesn't do that. And I'm sitting here, and I'm getting frazzled, because I'm just like, I had this crazy moment.
You're also 7 years old. You're like, what's going on?
I'm like, what's going on, right? Like, and, but it just felt so right, right? So, I still have that book in my house, actually, right now. And I kind of go on my life, and I go through a lot. Like, I go through, you know, school and a lot of things with friends and a lot of situations. And I start to lose my faith a bit when I move out of my house. And it was a really interesting time for me, because it was the first time in my life where I did not have that structure that was so emphasized in my house. Like, I had a choice. And I started going through life and realizing how much suffering there was. And I think that's why in the beginning I would just constantly give, because I just feel like for me I was really whole inside. Like, so I just kept giving and giving and giving and constantly hurting myself and getting into these situations that were extremely toxic. And I remember, like, it was over quarantine. It was after a really difficult situation. Like, basically broke me at that point. And I was sleeping, and I had a dream. And we were walking. I was walking down an auditorium. For some reason, I was, like, directing people where to walk. And that same teacher and God himself appeared. And I just, all of a sudden, I was just sitting down, and that teacher was next to me, and God was on the other side of me. And I turn, and the teacher looks me in the face, like the same teacher who, by the way, at that point I had not seen in like years. And looks at me and goes, okay, now's the time to come back. And I, boom, and I get washed out of my dream. I wake up sweating, and I just start sobbing, because I just feel like everything's like coming out, like every single piece of, like, pain that I'd felt in that moment, like, just started coming out. Even thinking about it was, like, crazy. And my entire life changed at that moment. That's what started me, like, cutting people off. Like, everyone who was being toxic in my life, I just started cutting them off like that. It was not even, like, it was difficult, but it was not as difficult as I thought it would be. And then slowly but surely, people in my life that were not good for me started to show me that they weren't good for me. And I started to slowly detach myself. And then even like friendships that like were meant to be saved, our relationship slowly started changing. And then that same like fall, I felt what true love was for the first time. And yo, that dream is what started it all. When my teacher turned to me and went, okay, now's the time. Yo, started meditating every day, started feeling it every day, started, you know, truly being okay with myself and also going back. It's a piece that I never thought I would get again. There was a point that I never thought I would receive that. If I ever find a teacher, this is what I want. Like, I don't know if by the time, if when I'm ready to accept a teacher, if he will be necessarily the one. But I credit a lot of my spiritual journey to him. Because in that moment, I just felt so much acceptance. You know, like, I felt like he looked into my soul and was like, you can do it. Like, you're going to do great things. And in some sense, like, that is also what encourages me to this day. That idea that even back then, someone saw something. I'm a woman of science. Like, I understand how this sounds. Like, I understand. But you just have to be there. And honestly, you have to see exactly what happened to me after that moment. Like, if you think about who I was last year and who I am today, I could give less of a fuck what anybody else thinks about me right now. Because I know who I am. And it's because of that moment when I woke up and I was like, this is not who I am. Like, and, you know, slowly but surely, my life changed. So, I understand. It's even, like, talking about it, I don't think I even conveyed half of what I felt. But it's just such a powerful moment when you get to sit there and just realize and truly be okay with yourself. I just don't think he knows what kind of impact he's had on my life.
You gonna tell him?
Eventually, if I get the right moment,
mm-hmm.
which my life seems to do that type of stuff. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it's that is the moment that changed my life. So I totally understand.
One other thing that helped me like gather myself from this experience was I had a great writing teacher named Tamara Reed, who I went to go talk to her about my essay and writing one. And she, long story short, had one of the same experiences just a lot later in life.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like, went through all of the crazy trauma of her childhood. Like, her childhood was insane. We sat and we talked for, like, 3 hours. It was just beautiful. She said, like, just at one moment, she, like, basically saw, like, another reality of herself. She basically said, like, reality split. She saw, like, all of the realities. And then it came back into one, and she just was like, everything's going to be okay. And then she, like, slept for 8 hours. In, like, the
interesting.
These experiences are more common, I hope, than people would think.
Yeah.
Because it's just how you have to, you have to, one, come to terms with it and accept it and understand that it happened. And as we've both said, like, science can explain everything. We just don't have the technology to explain it yet. I feel like.
I don't think we have the mental capacity to ever be able to understand what exactly is going on.
I agree, but it's still science because it happened.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I think so too. And I totally understand. Like, my family is a family of sciences. I get it. And it sounds nuts. But one thing you cannot deny is the effects of what this results in. Yeah. You know? Even, okay, for you, I'm going to be quite honest. I see a lot of the people that you used to associate yourself with last year. I mean, if you want to cut this out, it's fine. But, like, I see a lot of people, mm-hmm. and I can see how you're related to them. But I think you're way different than them.
I agree.
Yeah. I think...
It's crazy. It's crazy. Like, it's so obvious.
Yeah. And I think, like, I understand how basically a part of, with this conversation, I can also get how you related to them, but I think you're just so changed right now. Like, that, I'm going to be honest, half of your friends would never be friends with them.
Yeah.
I would not.
Yeah.
But I absolutely adore you. It's because I feel like meditation, spirituality makes you have a bigger respect for people.
I agree. Thank you.
Welcome to Woodside Lane was co-created by Pooja Apana and Wyatt Sarkissian. Music by Sean Tyrese Avery and Milton Amparo. Presented by Apana LLC.